Chapter 31. The plane landed without fuss, maybe a half mile from the bluff. Joshua set off in that direction, hobbling on his homemade crutch. Sancho and the other adult trolls displayed a supreme indifference to the miracle of technology that had suddenly appeared out of an empty sky. Matt, though, bounded ahead of Joshua, towards the plane, a bundle of curiosity and energy on the dusty ground. Matt had reached the plane by the time a hatch opened and Rod clambered out. He'd already changed out of his flight suit into a practical if faded shirt, traveller's jacket, jeans, and a broad-brimmed hat, and he carried a heavy-looking white pack on his back. Matt jumped up and down before him, slapping himself on the head and rolling in the dust. Joshua could see his son kneel down, grinning, to speak to Matt, and then he took something from his pocket and threw it into the air. Matt caught it one-handed, hooted and rolled, and then scampered back towards the bluff. Rod walked in and met his hobbling father not 100 yards from the bluff. He slowed, somewhat warily, as if assessing Joshua's mood. "Hi, Dad."
"Rod."
"Look, Dad, I know I'm breaking your sabbatical. I can also see you're in trouble." He patted the pack, which Joshua guessed contained medical supplies. "Well, I came prepared. You're either going to tell me I took my time getting here or to piss off, right?"
"Rod,
but I didn't come out looking for you on a whim or just because you're overdue. I have some news for you."
"Shut your yap."
Joshua stumbled forward and embraced his son. Rod smelled of the plane, of engine oil and electricity and a new carpet cabin smell. Joshua dreaded to think what he smelled like.
"I am in trouble. I busted my damn leg. Thanks for coming, son."
They broke, awkwardly, and began to plod at Joshua's snail pace back to the bluff. If they were shy of each other, Matt was shy of neither of them. He came back, trailed by his sister, Liz, and they both rolled and hooted alongside Rod as he walked. Rod dug into his pockets again.
"Here, you guys, plenty of sugar for both of you."
They snatched the white lumps out of the air and crammed them into their broad mouths.
"You're good with trolls," Joshua observed.
"What? Is that a surprise? Dad, we, my family, we live among trolls.
Or they live among us.
You ought to know that. You would, if you ever spent any time with us."
"Okay, okay. But you won't stay popular with their mothers and fathers if you keep feeding them sugar."
Rod raised his eyebrows.
"It's gen-eng, Dad. No dental care is, and slips through the digestive system harmlessly. You're behind the times."
They reached the rock bluff and Joshua's rough camp. Sancho still sat on top of the bluff, wrapped once again in the survival blanket. He observed Rod's approach with a grave but remote interest. Rod bowed to him and said,
"Who?"
"Who?"
Sancho turned away, evidently accepting Rod as simply as that. Joshua said,
"This band of trolls saved my life, especially Sancho here after the break. I wouldn't have made it otherwise."
Rod looked back at Sancho and nodded.
"I'm impressed. Not surprised, but impressed. Let me get that leg, Sing-to."
They settled in the shade of the bluff. Rod dropped his pack and unzipped it. In the med gear, he had a small cooler bag from which he extracted bottles of cold beer. He handed one to his father with an opener.
"Anesthetize yourself. Valhalla's finest."
Sitting in the dirt, Joshua popped off the cap and took a long, luxurious draught.
"That is unreasonably good."
Rod took a beer for himself and eyed Sancho. Then he passed a bottle up to the troll. Sancho took it, the bottle was almost lost in his huge black-haired hand, and eyed it suspiciously. He reached for his troll call and asked,
"Light?"
"No way," Rod said.
The troll grunted, flipped off the cap with a tooth like a tombstone, and took a long pull on the bottle. Rod washed his hands with the sterilizing fluid, pulled on surgical gloves, and got to work on Joshua's leg. He cut away the rough bandaging and levered away splints that were stuck to the flesh by chewed-up vegetable matter, a mass of dark green. Rod poked at this.
"A troll poultice?"
Joshua shrugged.
"I guess. I was out when they did this for me. I reapplied some of it myself.
I've seen them do this. They gather the stuff, grind it up between their back teeth, and plaster it on.
There's a lot of folk medicine stored in those big heads of theirs, and specific to the worlds, or the bands of worlds they visit. There's no sign of infection. Hell, I'd be able to smell it by now. I'll clean all this away, give you a shot of antibiotics.
He looked at his father. Look, all I know is field medicine. I'll be clumsier than the trolls, probably. You want a painkiller?
I'll let you know. As Rod got to work, Joshua leaned back, cradling the beer. So how did you find me?
Not hard. Your old buddy Bill Chambers helped a lot. When you were overdue, he called me.
Overdue? How the hell could I be overdue? I'm on a sabbatical. By definition, you're not overdue on a sabbatical.
Rod just laughed. Bill showed me a spreadsheet he keeps on you.
A spreadsheet?
How long your average stay is, with 90% confidence limits, before you check in with him. Bill knows you as well as anybody, I guess, ever since you were both raising hell in that home in Madison of yours.
I don't check in with anybody.
Of course you don't, Dad. So he knows how long you'll be out. And he also has a way of predicting where in the High Megas you'll go next, based on all the places you visited before. You could call it an algorithm.
An algorithm?
He keeps all this stuff in a box file.
A box file?
Anyhow, once you were overdue, Bill put the word out, and I came looking in the likely spots. And once I'd found the right world, I was led here by your radio signal and the survival blanket draped over your buddy there.
Ouch!
Sorry. You sure you won't have a painkiller?
I could take another beer.
Rod passed him the bottle and continued working. I'll be honest, Dad. When I set off, I did wonder what I'd find, or if there'd be anything to find.
Joshua frowned. Is that what you think? That I was on some kind of death march?
But was it really a shock that Rod should think that way of him?
He imagined Bill Chambers' face, as lined and leathery as his own, peering at him skeptically.
I warned you. If you kept on going out there alone, you'd get yourself killed, you feckin' idiot. You don't know half the truth about yourself, do you?
Rod flinched at the bluntness of Joshua's words, but he said, It is difficult for the rest of us to figure out why you need to take these sabbaticals, Dad, over and over.
It's what I've done all my life. Ever since I was trusted by Agnes and the sisters to be away from the home for a night on my own.
He struggled to explain.
Ever since Step Day, when the Long Earth opened up, for me personally anyhow, to go back to the datum, to billions of people packed together on a sliver of a world no thicker than the edge of a knife, it grips your mind like a fist.
But you're closer to 70 than 17 now, Dad.
He gestured at the damaged leg with a gloved hand stained vegetable green.
And it could have been even worse. Bill told me you usually avoid worlds where the troll population is large.
They're supposed to be solitary trips. Trolls, bless them, can be kind of noisy neighbors if you're in search of silence, or the silence.
So you were lucky. Dad, you have people who need you. Family.
Joshua glared at him. Family who walked away from me.
Rod looked away, concentrating on his medicine. Yeah, well, maybe things are different now.
Different how?
Joshua thought back.
You said you had news for me. What news?
Rod shrugged. Good news, bad news, and some news that won't surprise you.
Tell me what won't surprise me.
Lobsang's asking for you.
Joshua sipped his beer, leaned back, and laughed. No, that doesn't surprise me, damn it. I thought he'd disappeared again, that he had another of his periodic breakdowns.
As I understand it, he did. But your old buddy Nelson Azakiwe went to bring him back.
Went where? Never mind. So there's some new crisis blowing up in the Long Earth, is there?
Isn't there always? And they want you back, Dad. Nelson and Lobsang.
Same old, same old. Tell me the bad news, Joshua said bluntly.
Rod looked at him. Sister Agnes died.
Ah. Okay.
There was a kind of service at the home. I'm sorry, Dad. I know how close you were.
Sure. Even after she was brought back by Lobsang, she was still Agnes. Adds up to a lot of decades, I guess. But we said our goodbyes. So what's the good news?
And now, Joshua could swear, Rod blushed under his tan. Sophia is pregnant. Now, Dad, if you don't remember who she is...
Sophia Piper. Give me some credit. You're...
He hesitated, not wanting to use the wrong word.
Partner?
Close enough.
So you're going to be a father?
Again, was that the right word when it applied to Rod's extended family?
A biological father, I mean.
Sure. And you're going to be a biological grandfather, Rod said dryly.
Well, that was good news, and unexpected. In fact, a shock. It felt as if the world was reconfiguring around Joshua, as if everything around him, his relationship with his son, even the rocks and the trees and the trolls, had a new significance. And so much for any auto-destruct loops, if they existed in the first place.
Wow, he said at length.
So what are you thinking? Rod asked.
I don't suppose you have any cigars in there.
Have another beer.
You always said you weren't going to do this. Have a kid of your own.
Rod shrugged again. We're human beings. A complex mystery. Guess what? We changed our minds.
You fell in love with this Sophia is what you did.
I guess. Having her nephews around us the whole time kind of influenced us as well, I think. We always hated saying goodbye to them. The rest of the family threw a party when they found out. That's our way.
Okay. But Rod?
Yes?
Thanks for coming out. Thanks for telling me.
Rod looked embarrassed. Well, I had to come save your ass anyway. I could not tell you.
Thanks anyway.
Whatever.
And Joshua decided now wasn't the time to remind Rod about Oswald Hackett and the fund and the gruesome genetic legacy of the Valientes. Joshua had chosen to live with it and move on. Maybe Rod had made the same decision. Rod sat back at last and started peeling off his surgical gloves.
Done. That will hold until we get you back to Valhalla or the Lowe's.
So, he glanced at the sky.
Time for lunch?
Why not? I've been sharing with the trolls, my campfires, my spices, their meat. Rod, I've got to tell you that troll cuisine is most suitable for somebody who's really, really hungry.
Rod grinned.
I know that, Dad. I'll go get some more beers from the plane.